He's probably going to defer it as if he always does. Coach Tomlin's focus in on us. Our pregame talk before the game from him was simply that, you know, our game is always under attack from different entities, even starting with the NCAA. You know, guys are able to redshirt after four games. I know one thing about Coach Tomlin, he's a football purist. So, you know, the fact that a question like that is going to arise, going to come up, is simply an attack on what he's paid to do for us, and that's to be our head coach. If I know him, that's exactly what it'll be. He'll tell you next question.
He did not, Ramon. That was Ramon Foster. You'll hear him again tonight at 6 o'clock from Nakama in the North Hills. Mike Tomlin on the Redskins rumor. That's what Ramon Foster expected to hear out of Tomlin. You'll hear what Tomlin actually said in our sports updates and again with us at 5 o'clock an hour from now. We're the PM team brought to you by Chafin Luhana, injury law firm, doing good by doing right. We've got Arthur Motes, former Steeler, in studio with us, presented by Legacy Medical Centers. A Steelers fan who wants to see Mike Tomlin leave, a famous one.
Andrew Filippone.
Nope. You'll hear that in a second. But first, Ron Cook in today's Post-Gazette. Think twice before running Mike Tomlin out of town. Okay, I did. I still want to run him out of town.
Well, you want to run him out for Harbaugh, so I don't really.
But hold on. You've wanted to run him out of town long before there was another suitor with a name. Right. Like there was a team that was known. You have wanted him to be fired for how many years? At least two.
Yes,
three.
After the Jacksonville game.
So
I
you wanted him
out.
Fired after a 13-3 season that Correct. Flamed out in the playoffs, which no one's going to do.
What do you mean? Marty Schottenheimer got fired for that in San Diego.
Right. That's right. Thank you. I knew if anybody would have one example of it, it would be him.
Hey, you know, Pony's just a one-off. He's going to have all the...
No. I know. When I actually get one over on him, it makes it very satisfying. But I'll give him credit. He's been very consistent on this for a couple of years now. I think Ron is writing to the people who, now that there is an actual team connected to this, on the other end of it. It's not just this vague idea of get Tomlin out of here because you're not
There's
happy.
There's hope to this thing.
Yeah, he's saying, like, be careful what you wish for.
That's
now
exactly what he wrote. I just offer a word of caution. It's more than a word. It's a sentence. Be careful what you wish for. Compares it to Ben Roethlisberger in the 20 years the Steelers had in between Terry Bradshaw and Ben Roethlisberger, which were not miserable, by the way. It's not like what
Stop
happened.
It
wasn't. It's not like what happened in Buffalo, where they went 17 years or whatever it was without a playoff appearance. The Steelers between Terry Bradshaw and Ben Roethlisberger averaged 9 wins a season.
So my question is this: is averaging 9 wins a season acceptable? Because if it is,
not when you have a franchise quarterback.
Stop it!
Why
you always got an excuse?
It's not an excuse.
It's an excuse.
If the Steelers went 9-7 every year, I got to agree with Pony here. If the Steelers went 9-7 every year of Roethlisberger's career, we would be, and he was putting up good numbers during
sure,
that,
was, yes.
you'd be like, what the hell?
Right.
No,
More is given, more is expected. Who came up with that? Socrates? It's true.
I think it was from Spider-Man. With great power comes great responsibility.
That was definitely Spider-Man. Peter Parker.
Yes. Uncle
yeah,
ben,
I agree with that.
Best.
More was given to Tomlin, so he needs to win more.
But higher he hasn't won more?
No, not the last 2 years. No playoff wins.
The biggest disappointment.
Anthony Lynn has more playoff
years?
Wins. Yes, what have you done for me lately? There's another
oh,
cliche.
Gosh.
Go ahead, Chris.
But you want Harbaugh. What has he done for you lately?
Every year
not
he's
at
been
all.
In the
no,
NFL.
No, don't you. No.
I'll tell
what
you what,
he
covered against Iowa, which I really didn't want this week. He covered four ponies, so Pony's happy there.
That's why he's on the Harbaugh past. Train.
No,
wait a minute. What if Jim Harbaugh had left the 49ers and said, I'm done with coaching. I'll go work for Fox.
Well, that would have been different. I wouldn't have
How?
Seen him stunk it up at Michigan.
He's not stinking it up. He's 42-15 there.
But much
he's
is given.
Average.
Much has been
Remember,
given to
much
him,
is
and
given.
He's never he has never beaten a team as an underdog. He has
Correct.
Never won a game he should not win.
I don't think college and pro football are apples to apples. That's why I support Jim Harbaugh as an NFL head coach.
Are we going
to
fall down the rabbit hole here?
We might.
Him? Can I just ask you, what specifically attributes of his personality
Harbaugh?
Let me finish. Do you like and feel apply much more effectively as a professional head coach than as a collegiate head coach?
He's like his brother, detail oriented. When he doesn't have to worry about the shenanigans that come with college coaching, finding players, stupid satellite camps in Italy and Florida and all that nonsense, and you actually drill Jim Harbaugh down to just the meat and potatoes of being a football coach without the crap that comes with it. I think he is very good at that. Part of the job, which is your sole responsibility as an NFL head coach, and is only part of the job description when you're in college.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted, it was a direct question with a direct answer. So
here's what Ron says. We finished this column by saying Tomlin is a really good coach. Overall resume? Absolutely. But again, it's like Jamie Dixon at Pitt, Dan Bielsma with the Penguins, and maybe, you know, now we might see that with Mike Sullivan. Who knows? But at some point, you hit an expiration date. And I think Tomlin, the milk smells.
Well, the thing you want to avoid there.
You need new milk.
Thank you. You need organic milk that lasts
there
longer.
There we go.
Almond milk.
Yeah, it's gross.
Soy milk.
I'll break out in hives. The thing you want to avoid, though, is because I do think there's a whiff of the Jamie Dixon era at Pitt here. Like, they have definitely underperformed last year. I would not have called for his firing after a 13-3 season, but anyone saying that Jacksonville loss and his behavior leading up to it, like talking about New England and in the AFC title game like it was a foregone conclusion, that was not what you ever want to see out of a coach.
That was a page out of the Baker Mayfield playbook.
So that was one of Jamie's losses as a number one seed, like to Butler, when they just repeatedly threw that game away. You do not want to make hire after him Kevin Stallings equivalent. That is the key that you have to avoid here if you're the Steelers. And that's why I feel like Ron is that's the perspective Ron is writing from. Ron is also writing from the perspective of a man who, when Jamie Dixon was hired, tore the hire up, only to watch Jamie become the most consistent coach in the city for about a decade and a half. And so I think there's a little conservatism there from a guy who got burnt on his initial assessment of someone.
I think my biggest thing is, if you're going to make change, make it for somebody that you truly believe can be a better coach, not just change for the sake of change. And I understand that you like to play devil's advocate. I know that you like to get the people going, and the Harbaugh thing is the name that's helping you get people going. But for me, that seems like you're just making a move just for the sake of making a move. I don't see how he comes in as drastically different than what you have right now, personally.
Well, I think that they're in need of change. And if somebody wants to come or come
but change for the sake of change, what is the purpose of that?
If a team offers you a first round pick, that's not change for the sake of change. That's somebody giving you a valuable asset for a coach who I think has gotten stale here and hasn't performed well the last 2 years. What would you rather have? If the Redskins theoretically offered a top five pick in next year's draft or Mike Tomlin, what would you rather have?
Tomlin.
Oh, no, Arthur.
You know why? You know why? How many times have you talked about the first round bust that have been here, right? You're all on the Bud Dupree's a bust train.
Well, where we was talk he about, picked?
No,
was
wait a minute. Stop it. We talk about Jarvis. You go down your whole list of, oh, this first rounder, that first rounder, that first rounder.
Top five picks.
All I'm saying is you got all this list of first rounders. Okay, top five picks. Let's go down the Cleveland list of top five draft picks.
Kevin Colbert and the Steelers aren't the Browns, Arthur.
You can't have it both ways. 1 minute you're saying that, oh, these guys aren't top five picks, so it's okay for them not to be good. But
give me the top five pick over Mike Tomlin next year.
Hey,
if that top five, hold on, I think I'll be able to bend your ear with the power of persuasion here. If that top five pick, and your mileage may vary on whether you think either of the top two guys is a true franchise changing quarterback, if somehow that top five pick can get you Tua, which is unlikely, or Justin Herbert from Oregon, a guy that might be the next one.
But
and
if you don't.
And you avoid the cycle of having to wait for another one for a while, holy crap, not only is that worth it, I would take blood out of my own forearm for that.
Or how about Jerry Jeudy? And I've got a legit number one Julio Jones type wide receiver.
Is that what you're
for the next 15
if you're
identify, years?
If you're identifying that you have been for two more years, let's max out that window. You're not going to have Tomlin
and
as
I got
coach.
Julio Jones 2.0.
Right,
oh my
thank you.
God, Dan
Check,
Snyder, please.
Please. Then suddenly Juju gets better by extension. Deontay Johnson gets better.
So guess who disagrees with Arthur?
Who?
Stephen A. Smith.
Oh really?
Mike Tomlin's best friend.
Oh,
they're buddies. They are. I'm not making that up.
Oh, no, they're like good friends.
Right? They're buddies.
Stephen A.
Here he is.
Here's the deal. I don't want this to happen because I'm a Steelers fan and I love me some Mike Tomlin. But I'm not going to lie to you. I get upset when I see some of the things that's been happening to Mike Tomlin. I get upset when I see some of the power that other people have who are not proven. It wouldn't bother me at all if Mike Tomlin departed from the Pittsburgh Steelers to get head coach as well as control of football operation, a John Gruden with the Washington Redskins. But I will tell you, I kind of wish for it. I'd like to see Mike Tomlin in control. I'd like to see him in a position to pick a roster. I would like to see him cede control to an individual that's a bit younger, more relatable to the players, where he ain't got to enable dudes because there's upper management to answer to because they gave him a bunch of money like he had to do with Antonio Brown. I'm talking about somebody like that. I'd like to see something like that happen in the nation.
All right, that's Steve and I. We're basically saying that he would love Mike Tomlin because he's been crapped on to have complete control and autonomy over a football
team.
I'll
let Arthur take this
one. The idea that Tomlin doesn't have a big role in player personnel decisions is farcical.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to say that he doesn't have complete control, but in terms of what he would probably have in terms of the freedom to do some of those things that they're talking about, that he was talking about specifically, yeah, that would be there in Washington, but you're trying to make it as if he's cool leaving.
I disagree with the idea that he would have full control, even if it was granted him by part of his contract in Washington. Dan Snyder can't help himself.
Listen, he would get the Gruden treatment.
Dan Snyder cannot help himself from meddling in that situation.
I think that Dan would still understand Coach Tomlin and his view in terms of players, how he's able to get that talent. We can all attest that he has acquired talent, yes?
Yes.
Okay, so we know that he does that very well. Where Snyder?
Stephen A's trying to make the case that Tomlin's been held back by people here within the Steelers organization. And if he had control over everything, he would prove to people once and for all that he's a great football mind. The idea that Tomlin has, you know, a general manager that has let him down or bad ownership or has been betrayed by his assistant coaches is laughable to me. That is completely laughable. I mean, he might have had ownership step in and pair him up with certain coordinators, but a couple of those guys have worked.
True.
Like Dick LeBeau. I don't think it was Tomlin's.
By the end of Dick LeBeau's tenure, I thought that had, speaking of things that had run their course and the milk had gotten spoiled, Dick LeBeau was getting worked over almost every time they played a really good offense. So, especially the Patriots, which is all that matters here for a lot of people.
It's true.
I mean, I disagree. I reject the notion, too, that he's been let down by his assistants and everything else. But
all right, coming up next, we'll take a look at the Steelers' injury update from Mike Tomlin's press conference. What would be the bigger potential loss on offense, a running back or a quarterback, too? Probably going to miss this game. We'll discuss it next. It's the PM Team on the Fan.
Jalen Samuels had his knee scope yesterday. He had a knee sprain. He's roughly going to be out a month. But as we get closer through this process, we'll know what the timetable looks like. And in terms of that, that's something that showed up after the game, even after I visited with you guys or while I was visiting with you guys after the game. We had him evaluated and saw that was necessary. So we made the decision to fix it and fix it ASAP, and it was fixed yesterday.
93.7 The Fan time is 4:31. It's brought to you by Weather Seal Home Services. Just a dollar down can get you a new roof. Although some people say roof. Like roof, roof, like the dog. That was Mike Tomlin on Jalen Samuels. Came out of left field, his injury, out a month now because of the knee issue.
Now that's rough. Or roof.
Bigger potential loss on offense for Sunday's game in L.A. We got Arthur Motes in studio with us, former Steeler. Mason Rudolph or Jalen Samuels?
You want to take this one first?
For me, I think Jalen. I think he provides a spark in terms of the stuff they deal with the Wildcat, in terms of the way they utilize him as the safety valve a little bit in the passing game. I think he has the make-you-miss ability that we need right now in terms of the Steelers team that we haven't seen from James this season. Last year he was giving it to us, but we haven't seen that this year in particular. I don't think the gap is as large between Mason Rudolph and Devlin Hodges, honestly. Now, we'll see a lot more once we get a full week of Duck preparing, a full week of a team watching film on him, but I don't think it's that big of a drop off between those two.
Is there a drop off at all?
I personally don't think it is.
Well, I think the drop off is from Duck to Mason, and hold on. Now that's like me projecting. Admittedly, like I'm really like taking a swing at this one. In Mason's numbers, I have had him thrown back in my face numerous times. Like how many, you know, completions he's had relative to attempts, his completion percentage going like the 3.5 quarters in quarters.
13 straight completions.
Yeah, well, he had like going back for the Cincy game and then most of that game, he was really good. But, man, that one or two drives I saw out of Hodges just looked like a different thing altogether. It just looked like they found a guy who was ready to come in there and start making throws. And if Randy Feekner's big critique of Mason Rudolph was, oh, no, we're not handcuffing him, he just won't let it go down the field, I don't think you're going to have to like think twice about Devlin Hodges. If he sees it, he's going to go for it. And that might get him in trouble once or twice, but I think he is the guy that gives them the best chance to win right now. And I think Samuels would make his job a lot easier.
Yeah, I don't trust the coaching staff, though, the Samuels toy for them, they haven't figured out the right times to play with it. They did one time in, against Cincinnati. In San Francisco, it's like they forgot that he even was on the roster.
So wait, are you saying that he would be so, you're so not trusting of their ability to put him out on the field without misusing them that you're almost saying it's better to have him not healthy? That because the coaches would so screw it up? That's extreme.
It is. I'd rather have him than not have him. But I honestly do see a silver lining in Samuels not being available for this game because it's going to force them to not go to the Pop Warner offense and develop an offense.
I don't think they would have done it for Duck. I don't think they would have put that in. I think that was a sign of a lack of confidence in Mason Rudolph to start that game.
And I'm guilty of this too. I have absolutely exaggerated what Samuels has meant to the Steelers offense this year. 18 rush attempts for 50 yards. That is a 2.8. rush per attempt average as a pass catcher this year. 13 receptions for 83 yards. That's a 6.4 average. Connor, on the other hand, averages over 8 yards a catch. So he's been more efficient, Connor has, in the passing game than Jalen Samuels. And he also had one of the worst interceptions I've ever seen, Samuels, on Sunday, where he decided, I don't know what he was thinking there. Well, he wasn't thinking.
Play.
He's not a quarterback.
I know, but
he shouldn't have been put in that situation.
Yeah, but you can't give him, Arthur, just for that quick play here to litigate that play. I don't think just because he's not a quarterback, you give him a pass there. Once he realizes that play has is shot and is broken down, chuck that ball out of bounds into the
seventh row. Or just tuck it and run it yourself.
All I say is this. When we're in this controlled environment, when we're watching the game from the stands, it's so easy to say that, but we saw – Justin San Fran, Mason Rudolph do the exact same thing. He was getting pressured. Instead of throwing the ball away or just running out of bounds or just taking a sack, he throws it late across, interception. So, it happens a lot.
So I know, and I understand that we're sitting here in a nice air-conditioned studio, but the difference
with eating meatballs.
The difference. Thank you, by the way, for those, Arthur.
Hey, man, it's the least I could do. I wanted to feel a part
employee
of the family.
Of the week.
And it worked, Arthur.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to just be a part of it. I wanted to contribute to the team.
But what I'll say about the Samuels play is he's rolling out. He's not in that like pocket where he's getting claustrophobic. Right. He's out in space where I think he's really good.
I agree.
Player in space. I think at that point you've got to have sort of the awareness to know I've got like a full second and a half here. I'm just chucking this thing. Live to fight another day. That's all.
I personally wish it would have played out like that. I just know from being out there, when you're out there on that field, everything happens drastically faster. And no matter how much you practice it, I always tell people the difference in speeds is the equivalent of if we go stand on 376 right now, no car, and just let the cars go by 80 miles an hour, you're going to feel like they are flying.
Right.
Yeah. Juju Smith-Schuster has been getting buried. Ramon Foster defended him to the hilt today. You're going to hear those comments, and then we'll get Arthur's thoughts. We'll give you ours coming up. Very quick question going around the room. James Washington probably not going to play, arm in a sling at Steelers headquarters. If you had to pick one receiver to fill his shoes in terms of snap count on Sunday, Johnny Holton, Ryan Switzer, Dante Moncrief. I know.
Pass?
I
would go Dante Moncrief.
Me too.
You're going
Here's why.
I'm going Stonehands.
Here's why, very quickly.
Jeez, you're going Dante. You call him now?
I'm going Drops Moncrief.
Wow.
He at least has several seasons of track record where we have seen him make some plays at the NFL level. What have I seen out of Holton? What have I seen out of Switzer?
At least Holton's going to run by guys. Give me Holton.
Well, that makes it even more frustrating when he doesn't catch the ball.
Well, hey, I'm banking on my man Duck.
I think Duck's
setting him up nice.
Right. Listen, That's I think Duck is on. Throwing such a nice football that he's spinning it right into Moncrief's chest
at 5
and it just
o'clock,
sticks there.
At 5 o'clock, if you're just finding us, you're going to hear Mike Tomlin address the Redskins rumors.
To the people that have criticism towards him or towards us on how we support him, come do his job is what I say. I mean, that guy's a 1%er for a reason. As far as his talent and him being in the NFL. So look back at yourself and your imperfections. I mean, stuff happens. He's going to grow from it, and I guarantee you he'll be better from it.
Follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram locations in North Huntington and the North Hills. Follow our co-host, Arthur Motes, at DA Body 52.
Stop doing this.
The Body.
On Twitter. D.A. Body?
D.A. Body sounds like some weird detective from a 1930s. This is D.A. Body. This is D.A.
Yeah,
DaBaby. Yeah, DaBody 52. This is very difficult for Andrew to get this concept.
In 10 minutes.
He went to Syracuse. What do you expect?
Is that a backhanded compliment or just a flat-out insult?
I think that is a flat-out insult. I think he's trying to pick a fight here because he knows he'll win.
In 10 minutes, hear what Mike Tomlin had to say about the Redskins coaching vacancy. That was Ramon Foster, who you'll also hear at 6, on Juju Smith-Schuster coming to his defense, saying he's a one-percenter, come do his job. I love Ramon. My only issue with that comment, I have to preface my criticism of what he said a little bit, because I do have a lot of respect for him. I think he does a great show. I think, Arthur, you've got a lot in common with him where you found kind of the sweet spot in how to either do this business while you're still playing or when you just get out of it. We're fans. I don't like being told that you can't criticize because you can't do it. That's the one thing I've never... I don't like hearing that, because my rebuttal back to comments like that has always been, your general manager, Kevin Colbert, never played college football. He maxed out after high school. Your offensive coordinator for 5 years never played a down of high school football. Howie Roseman, who won a Super Bowl building the Philadelphia Eagles, the extent of his football experience in terms of playing was Madden football. So you don't have to have... It helps in some cases.
Bill Belichick never played as a pro.
Yeah, he was at, what, like Ohio Wesleyan or something like that?
Wasn't he playing
like
lacrosse
too?
He was a better
lacrosse player. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like, yes, fans say emotional, irrational things sometimes. They get heated. In this situation, it was a costly fumble that pretty much, for me, for all intents and purposes, ended the Steelers' chances of making the playoffs. So a guy is going to get criticized for that. It comes with the territory. If you're going to make millions of dollars and have your own brand and make yourself a spotlight guy, just like Baker Mayfield, if you're going to seek out the spotlight and the attention, you have to take the good and bad that comes with it, Arthur.
I do agree. You do have to take the good and bad that comes with it. That is the nature of the game. That's the nature of the profession in terms of the platform that we're given. I do think what Ramon, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but him making that statement of he's a one percenter, if you want to criticize him, you do it. A lot of times, fans are given a ton of leeway in what they're allowed to say and how they're allowed to act. And you just say, oh, they're fans, that's fine. But you do have to realize that athletes are humans. And it sucks because we don't get the opportunity to just respond the way that we personally would like to respond to a lot of fans and critics. So,
well, I've been on the other hand of that.
So the way you go about it is, you make comments like, well, hey, can you do it? Because that's more of the politically correct version of some things that you probably would really want to say that you would get in trouble for.
Do you think Juju deserves criticism for that fumble?
I would, absolutely. But yeah. At the same time, I do understand that it's a way to criticize it without personally attacking, which you've seen people do on social media, where they're talking about, oh, well, you shouldn't be out partying. You shouldn't be doing this and this and this. Those things had nothing to do with him fumbling.
Do you know what I'm really mad about? You know what I would criticize him about? And I did yesterday. He dug his own grave after the game when he described it and said, I knew Humphrey was going to try to do that. Well,
because you saw it earlier in the game.
On the first touchdown, Humphrey tried to punch it out and he missed. And
it was careless in your opinion,
yes,
Chris.
Yes, and we asked James Conner about that. Like, do you get scouting reports on opposing defenses? Like, it's the peanut punch, right? Peanut Tillman came up with the move, although his was a little different. But like I said, are there guys with well-known enough moves like that that it's in the scouting report? He was like, yeah, we know when it's coming and who's... Yeah. So if you're Juju, you know Humphrey's across from you. You know he's covering you. He tried to do it earlier. That is a situation where if I'm Juju, and I think he said I wanted to stiff arm him and get up the field, take the catch because it's positive yardage, and I think it would have been a first down already. Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong.
It would have.
And just make sure ball security there has to be so paramount, and it wasn't. And the fact that he acknowledged that he knew Humphrey would try it and he still wasn't ready for it made me feel like, okay, I can't even do the Mike Tomlin excuse of great play by the defender because my guy knew it was coming.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just the ball security element like you talked about. Coach Tomlin always had a saying. He tells anybody that's carrying the ball that when you have that ball, you're carrying our hopes and dreams. So I don't care how great of a player the guy across from you is at forcing fumbles. I don't care how hard you got hit. I don't care how many guys hit you. At the end of the day, you do whatever it takes to secure that ball because if you fumble it, that's our dream that you're fumbling away. That's what it comes down to, period.
I do think, though, like, is there a correlation there, Juju's social life? does it manifest into one defining play on Sundays? No, it doesn't. The same way, I don't think Baker Mayfield ripping Daniel Jones' draft pick causes him to go 8-for-22 against the 49ers.
I agree.
However, when you are such a public personality, you bring more criticism on yourself. That, I think, is fair. Do you agree?
No, that's very true. And like you said, regardless of the personality element of it, just being a professional athlete, because you're something that a lot of people aspire to be but probably would never have the opportunity to be, you're going to receive that criticism. And then when you add the social media element to it, now they have instant access to you. They
Do
feel
you
like
think
they
Juju is too social media, too brand committed? Does he have to tone that down or scale that back and make it more strictly football?
I personally don't think so. I've seen the kid. I know his work ethic. I know his dedication. I know, like I said, being around him as a teammate, but then also in this media capacity where I see him from the other side of it. Not once have I ever felt that he doesn't do what it takes to be successful, and I think that his numbers back that up.
Do you know what I don't like about the social media blaming by people? Because he's out there, people know it happens, like mm-hmm. that he's out at these places, and yes. therefore they can use it against him.
Absolutely.
What's to say there aren't players on that team who don't do social media but have no work ethic whatsoever? You just don't know about it because they're sitting at home eating popcorn and drinking beer.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to name names, but I have a few in mind here.
We used
in
to
particular.
Always laugh when we would talk about how certain players who post their workouts all the time, it gives you the perception that they're the hardest workers out. And you're like, think about it.
Well, Juju
okay.
did that with
James Harrison. Was right,
we would always laugh because we're like, okay, I'm not even talking about James, but just in general. When you think league-wide, there's plenty of guys who, post workouts, this guy's in the best shape of his life.
All right.
Six-pack abs. You see him in practice, and you're like, bum.
That's Arthur Motes coming up next. What did Mike Tomlin say about the Redskins coaching vacancy? And you're going to hear why one insider thinks Tomlin leaving for Washington isn't that far-fetched. It's the PM team. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy and McMurray. Join Sun on October 15th. Help them support the fight against breast cancer. 68 degrees right now, a low of 45.